Gracious God, we thank you for your presence in this place and in our lives and in our hearts. Every moment in your presence is worth more than a day's full of activities. How we love you, Lord. Lord, will you remain in us as we remain in you? Will you draw near to us as we draw near to you? Lord, that we might feel the warmth of your embrace. And the tenderness of your touch. That we might hear the songs of delight you are singing over each one of us. That we might know and remember that the plans you have for us are good. Lord, you are faithful and you are true. You are the bright and morning star. You are the resurrection and the life. And there is resurrection life in everything that you do. Absolutely everything. And we lift your name on high. And we gather and come to you as a people of faith, knowing and believing that you are who you say you are, our great and glorious King, the one who saves us. We thank you and we praise you. You are the most glorious one. The most glorious one. Father, this day, it is with joy that we pray for El Dorado United Methodist Church. Lord, we thank you for equipping them so powerfully to be your hands and feet. We thank you for equipping them so powerfully to love and to serve. To worship and to rejoice. This morning, as they gather to worship, would you pour out blessing upon them, O God? We thank you, Lord, for your beautiful bride. Would you give them strength and encouragement this day? God, we are so grateful to you for sending your son to rescue us. We are so thankful that he came to live with us and walk with us to teach us so much. We thank you, Jesus, you are still teaching us today. We thank you for the gift of prayer that draws us near to you and nourishes your life in us, Jesus. Let us pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I thought that was a fitting entrance. I mean, it's almost Halloween. But not only that, we're about to talk about some demons. Now, I'm not sure Michael Jackson meant this to be demons, but maybe it was the zombie apocalypse or something. But he set up Thriller in a very powerful way for us to get this visual image of these demons. In Luke 8 today, we're going to hear how Jesus deals with demons and perhaps some guidance about how we're supposed to be dealing with the demons of our lives. Now, some of y'all may not know me. I'm Kyle Evans. I'm one of the retired pastors around here, which means I'm old. But my grandson, Caden, calls it back in the 19s. Isn't that funny? That's what he calls the 19 whatever, 80 or whenever Michael Jackson came out with this. The 19s, what, Caden? 1900s. Does that make some of y'all feel old? I don't know. That's when Michael came out with this. We may not believe in demons like the people in the scriptures did, but we certainly may come to understand or name those demons that are in our lives or that seem to be something we can't explain. When they couldn't explain something, they believed people were possessed by demons. Anybody here really believe in the personification of demons? Some days you come to that point, don't you? But here's what happened in this story today when Jesus crosses the lake. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And as he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. Now you start to get this picture. Jesus has come to the land of the Gerasenes. They're not Jewish people. They're Gentiles. And in fact, they don't bother to follow the Jewish laws because they don't need to. And they have this man there that they believe is possessed. They don't have any other explanation other than that for what this man is going through. He's living in the cemetery. He has no clothes. In the South, we say he's naked. He's probably torn those clothes off and ripped them off in the fits or the seizures or whatever it was that he was having. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me," for Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. This is a tragic situation. This is an awful way for this man to live his life. It's out of control. Now, Jesus asks, not that he needs to know anything, because Jesus knows everything and he has all power over this demon or whatever's got a hold of this man. But he says, "What's your name?" And the demon says, "Legion." Now, what they understood was, because they were under, the whole area was under Roman rule at this time, and they understand a legion in the Roman guard to be a company of 3,000 to 5,000 troops. 3,000 to 5,000. And so when this demon says to Jesus, "We are legion," he's talking about it's not just one demon. There's 3,000 to 5,000 of us that have filled this man and are torturing this man. Now, the aside story which is extremely interesting. The Gerasenes, since they're Gentiles, their primary crop is swine, is pigs. They're raising pigs. The Jewish people were forbidden to eat pork. But the Gerasenes, being Gentiles, had no problem with that, and they liked their hickory smoked bacon. And they liked their ribs barbecued. And so this was a great, well, maybe honey-baked ham, too. So this was a great crop for them to raise all these pigs. So there, as Jesus is talking to the demon, and the demons are now saying, please, Jesus, don't throw us into the abyss or back into hell. Jesus decides to tell them to go into this herd of pigs instead. And the pigs, filled with 3,000 to 5,000 demons, then rush and throw themselves over this cliff into the sea, and they all drowned. Now, if you're a pig farmer, and this is your livelihood, how are you going to feel when your whole herd, because Jesus has told these demons to get into these pigs, how are you going to feel when they all go over the edge and drown? Well, they were mad, but they were also afraid, because what if he went around the whole countryside and did this to all of their herds? And so they run back into town, and they tell everybody that this Jesus has set foot in their country, and this is what he has done. And everybody comes out, and they tell Jesus, you're out of here. But when they come back to Jesus, what they find is this man who has torn off all his clothes, who is living in the cemetery, who they have chained up to try to protect him from himself and also to protect them from him. They find this man is now clean and peaceful and sitting at Jesus' feet. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned, and the man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This man wanted to stay with Jesus. Of course he did. Look what Jesus did for him. Look what God did for him. But Jesus said, no. You need to go share the good news. You need to go tell people what God has done for you. A follower of Jesus shares the good news. We don't keep it to ourselves. We tell what God has done for us. We used to have what we called evangelism committees in the church. I don't think we do that anymore. Back in the 19s, 80s, before I went in the ministry, John and I were asked to chair the evangelism committee. Well, I later found out it's because you couldn't pay somebody to do that. Nobody wanted to be called upon to give a testimony or witness, and they didn't want to go into people's houses that they didn't know and try to talk to them, and it just, they weren't comfortable with that. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you can't help but tell what God has done for you. It's the good news. I don't think you can possibly keep it inside of you. You must tell. Now, this morning, as we have gathered and we're, you know, starting out with this story about these demons, and we may not believe in the personification of demons, but there are things in each of our lives that we can't explain. There are moments when we may feel that something's gotten a hold of us. There are days when we get up and we think, what a great day, and then little by little by little something happens, and then something else happens, and something else happens, and you think, will this day ever end? There are those of us who suffer from chronic illness, and we think, something's gotten a hold of us. What did I do to cause this? Nothing. Most of the time it just happens. And yet we deal with this over and over and over again. There are addictions that to one degree or another all of us have. And again, we think, will this ever end? Will I ever get through this? And there's God who reaches out to us and says, yeah, things are going to happen in this life, but I'm here to walk with you, to help you through this time. One of the churches I served several years ago, many years ago, back in the 19s, Caden, there was a woman who came to me, and she was very active in the church, went to Sunday school, was always in worship, and she came to me and she said, Kyle, you know, I hear these stories of all the hardships and the things that people go through, and I just can't relate to this because nothing bad has ever happened in my life. She said, I have a wonderful husband. I have two small boys, young boys. We have a beautiful house. He has a great job. Everything is perfect. And so I'm not relating to stories of demon possession or people who, you know, have problems in their lives. And I told her, I remember telling her at the time, you know, it's not if, but when something happens, God's going to be there for you. A few years later, after I'd left that church, I heard that her husband, in his 40s, had developed a brain tumor and had passed away. And what I know is that for her, huge challenge. And yet she knew that God was there with her through the grief processes, through talking to her boys, through getting through one moment, not a day at a time, but a moment at a time. God was with her. God saw her through. And when I think of this man who wanted, as Jesus got into the boat, to go back across the sea, and he wanted to come with Jesus and just stay with Jesus because that was the most perfect place to be. And I think of the story of the Transfiguration, where Jesus went up on a mountaintop and took Peter, James, and John with him, and it was transfigured before them. His face was shining like sunlight, and it looked like white glowing robes as he was filled with the glory of God. And Moses and Elijah appeared there, and the disciples said, this is fantastic. We want to stay right here. We want to stay here forever with you. We'll build tents and a place to live. And Jesus said, no. You don't just stay in this moment because you've seen and experienced the glory of God. Down the mountain is the valley. Down the mountain are hurting people and hungry people and things for you to do. But specifically, I want you to go down the mountain and share the good news that God is with us. And you've seen what God can do. It's for everyone. Share it. So as we leave here today, it's not about going door to door and knocking on doors and saying, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Can I tell you about him? But rather, in every single moment of your life, wherever you are, that you live and you breathe and you share the good news that God has done for you what you could not do for yourself. That God has helped you through and has walked with you and has been with you in all of these moments of your life. Demons? Sometimes I think so. But God, always. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you took the time to go across the sea and to see some people that were not the normal people that you saw. There weren't Jews. But you knew that there was a man there who was hurting, who was being tormented, and you knew that you could help him. Thank you for this word. But help us, as we go through today and our tomorrows, to remember that we're not alone and that you are the creator of all that we know. You have all of the power, and there is nothing that can separate us from God's love in you. Jesus, hold our hands, wrap your arms around us, strengthen us and give us the endurance to share your news, what God has done for us in you. Amen. This morning, if any of you would like to come down for a time of prayer, we have some folks who will come and love to pray for you specifically, whatever your needs are. You know what they are. God knows what they are. And we are here for you. I invite you to come. Go from this place knowing you're not alone. You have angels walking around you and holding your hand, and you have God's Spirit poured through you to see you through the toughest times. Go and share that good news with all that you meet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.